Would you please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we ask that you will revive us again and again and again. Lord, may we be revived, Lord, so that we can live the gospel before others. And Lord, that we can speak the gospel to others. Lord, time is short. It's time to awake and share you with a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. May that be the prayer of this church, to give you glory, to lift the name of Jesus up for your glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Living for Christ Jesus. This last week, if you watch the Weather Channel, I watch the Weather Channel and Fox News. One thing the news was about last week was that last week was the most depressing week of the year. Did y'all know that? According to the Weather Channel and to the news, last week, the most depressing week of the year. Everyone put a smile on your face for me. And one day last week was considered by the news the most depressing day of the entire year. The reason that they said was that all the New Year's resolutions, most people by last week fell on every one of them. Also, they said another reason, that all the credit card charges that was charged between Thanksgiving and Christmas, guess what? The bill came in the mail. They also attributed to, this is the Weather Channel side of it, cold weather. Of course, we did not experience that. But gloomy days, cold weather, days that you have to spend inside, plus if you look around, cold, flu, aches and pains and all of that last week. Okay? So the most depressing week. And here your pastor is fixing to talk to you about dying. Okay? During the most depressing week of the year, at least on, we have cable where I live. And on cable, we have basic cable. But one of the channels, channel 20, whatever that channel is, they showed a movie, I don't know how many times last week. You know what that movie was? It was entitled 2012. 2012. The movie 2012 is about total destruction of the earth. And they looked at the Mayan calendar and everything, and the Mayans were right, and total destruction of the earth. And in this movie, mankind, most of them were wiped out, but many of them were saved. You know how they were saved? They saved themselves. They created ships, and all the billionaires of the earth paid for it, and they were safe on the ships along with some others. And this great tsunami flood engulfed the world, and they saved themselves in this ship without God, and God's name was used in vain during the movie. Okay? Total destruction, but man saved himself. So, 2012. The world is talking about 2012. They're using the Mayan calendar and all sorts of things, and all we need to do as God's people is to stay with God's Word. Remember, I preached a whole series last year. Stay with God's Word. Stay with God's Word. But I do want to say this. Time is running out. It may not run out on 2012, or it may run out today. Time is running out. Life is running out. Matter of fact, you have a sense that time is running out. Even the devil knows that his time is running out. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath." Why? Because he knows that he has a short time. So even the devil knows he's got a short time. And that time is running out. Time is running out. It seems faster and faster to me. You know, I look at my children and they're grown. Two of them have grown up. Have one in the sixth grade. She was just a little baby. I was holding my baby, seemed like yesterday. That's how fast it seems that time is running out. I see children here in this church that we all have been part of, and they're growing up fast. So just by that, we can see by watching children how fast time is slipping by. You see, time is running out. I want to share with you three reasons why time is running out. Number one, time is running out because the return of Christ will soon be here. Christ is coming back, and the return of Christ is nearer today than it was yesterday, wasn't it? He's coming back. Do I know when? I do not know when, but I do know this. The Bible is a more sure word of prophecy than some pagan, heathen calendar. You see, the devil knows some things and has power also. Don't ever forget that. Everything that is spiritual does not necessarily mean it's from God. God's word is sure. God's word says Jesus is coming back. Those two angels, as Jesus ascended up, the two angels said he will return in like manner. So time is running out because the return of Christ is nearer today than it was yesterday. And he is coming back. Forget about the Mayan calendar and paganistic beliefs. If you believe that stuff, that shows just how mature you are as a Christian. You're not mature. Quit believing worldly teachings and beliefs. Quit believing false gospels. Quit believing that health and wealth stuff. Believe the Word of God. The Word of God says Jesus is coming back. God's Word is sure. Just think of all the prophecies that God's Word has fulfilled. Think of the prophecy of Jesus coming and being born in Bethlehem, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all the prophecies that He fulfilled, and the prophecies that He fulfilled just by dying on the cross. How sure of a word of prophecy we have. Why don't the news start reading the Bible and start talking about the truth that is in God's Word, and that the truth of the prophecies that God's Word has fulfilled. That's why we should believe truth. God's Word is truth. God's Word, the truth, says Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Someday, folks, the trump of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together on that Shekinah glory cloud when Jesus steps out on it and says, come on home. Time to come home. That's going to happen before that man of lawlessness comes, the Antichrist. That which keeps him from popping up his ugly head, the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells you and I, that will be removed. Can you be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God? Quit believing those books, those false teachings. You cannot save yourself. Believe God's Word. You cannot be saved unless the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart and says you're a sinner. And then you repent of your sins and humble yourself before a holy God and say, God, forgive me. Save me, please. That Holy Spirit is gone. That won't happen. Read the book. Quit believing Tim LaHaye and believe Jesus. Amen, church? Oh, I know I touched on some chords then, but believe the book. Jesus is coming back. Time is running out, and time is running out also because the big life changers is nearer today than they were yesterday. Life is full of big changes. Your health can be gone tomorrow. You may have it today. It may be gone tomorrow. What you have today, you may not have tomorrow. Every day has opportunities to serve Jesus. And there's missed opportunities. Missed opportunities. World affairs, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, war, terrorists that are getting nuclear bombs, big life changers. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. So time is running out because of these big life changers that can happen to any one of us. You may think, well, I do everything right. I go to church and I do this and I do that. Hey, read the book of Job. Read it. Read it. All of us have big life changers. Another reason why time is running out, thirdly, is death is nearer today than yesterday. Don't get depressed on me. But let me tell you something. We're all going to die. Yes, we ought to fight and live all that we can, but sooner or later, we're going to die. Even when Jesus comes back, this flesh in which my soul and spirit is in, this flesh right here is sinful. I was born in sin, conceived in sin, and this flesh right here cannot inherit eternal life. It must die. It must drop and rise to a new glorified body. We're all going to die. It has to happen because of sin. Main thing is, do not remain dead in trespasses and sin spiritually. Come alive in Christ Jesus. Time is running out because death is nearer today than yesterday. Did you know that around 56 million people on average will die in 2012? That's a lot of people. And then when you figure the average of Christianity per population, think of all the people that are dying and going to hell. We're all going to die. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know what will happen when you pull out on 171 today. You don't know. But I do know this. Death is closer for me and for you today than it was yesterday. It's closer. In Luke chapter 16, what happens at death? What happens when we die? Well, Luke chapter 16 answers that question. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. We won't read this whole parable or this true account of death that Jesus shares with us. This is a true account. This is not a parable. It is a true account. It has names in it. And Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You do not become an angel when you die. We're washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are the redeemed. The redeemed. The angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's bosom. Verse 22, the rich man also died and he was buried. And being in torments in hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So at death, Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. And now Abraham's bosom is called paradise. And someday there'll be a new heaven. And wherever Jesus is, folks, that's where I want to be, and that's going to be heaven for me. Okay? The very presence of God for all eternity. That's heaven. The rich man died and was buried. He was in hell being in torment. And someday after the great white, or during the great white throne judgment, the dead will be brought up from hell and will be judged. And guess what? They in hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So do you want to be in hell first and then be judged according to all the good things or bad things you've done and then be cast into the lake of fire? No, you don't want to do that. You want to be in Christ. At death, you want to be in the presence of God. That's where you want to be. That rich man died and was in torment. And he's still there. He's still there. That's closer today for you than it was yesterday. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And if the Holy Spirit of God touches your heart, you need to receive Jesus today. You can't decide, well, I'll do it such and such day. You can't do that. You can't do it. God must save you. So at death, it's either the presence of God or it's in hell. You're going to one of those two places. Believe the book. You cannot save yourself and God will pardon everybody at the great judgment. That is heresy. That is not in the book. You must be in the Lamb's book of life to be saved. You must be in Christ. It's So death is closer today than it was yesterday. We need to be concerned about where we will spend eternity. We need to be concerned about where our loved ones will be for eternity. And if you're a friend, if you call people friend, and you're a good friend would not want a friend to die and go to hell. You really want to be a friend, share Jesus with them. Be concerned that we need to repent towards God and place our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 13. This passage of Scripture tells us because time is so short, because of these, we need to live with an act of faith in our Lord. We need to live an act of faith. We need to wake up. Be active. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Did you enter His courts this morning in public worship with thanksgiving and praise because you served Him with gladness? And now you begin a new week, this Lord's Day, the first day of the week. I'm saying, God, I'm going to serve You with gladness this week also. Be active. Live an act of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Live with a sense of urgency and obedience. It says in verses 11 and 12 of Romans 13, and do this. In other words, be active. Knowing the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Jesus is coming back. It's nearer. It's nearer today than yesterday. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So we need to wake up. The church is called to wake up in Scripture. The church is called to redeem the time and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and submit to one another and serve God with love and submission to one another. Wake up. Wake up. Live with this sense of urgency. Jesus tells a parable about 10 young maidens, 10 young women. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. The foolish ones did not trim their lights with oil. They were not filled and yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. And the groomsmen came, Jesus came, and they were not ready for the return of Christ. So you must wake up. Be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. Be ready. Be ready and live with a certain sense of urgency, looking for the return of Christ. We're also told in this passage of Scripture, in verse 13, it says to lay aside that darkness and put on light. In other words, wake up and lay aside what hinders us to live for Christ, what hinders us to live in Christ. Do not allow the works of the flesh to hinder you. Hebrews chapter 12 says to, or Romans chapter 12 says to lay aside the sin that so easily besets us, or lay aside and seek the good and perfect will of God. Lay aside that sin and be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. So wake up and live with this sense of urgency and do not allow the sins of the flesh to hinder you, but yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. And it also says in verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. And if me and you have to have a theological discussion on whether or not these are sin or not, you need to be saved today. Put it away. If it's doubtful, don't do it. Ask God to help you. Put it away. In verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So we are to wake up and abide in Christ. Live in Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. Live in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism shows. It shows that you're dying to self and that you're entering into Christ, and Christ is in you. You abide in Christ. That water's not Jesus Christ, but it shows that you're abiding in Christ. It's confessing Jesus to others. So abide in Christ. Live in Christ. Live with a sense of urgency. There are people dying and going to hell all around us. You and I are headed for eternity, closer today than it was yesterday. Abide and live in Christ. I found an illustration. I don't know if this is a good day to talk about football or not. This is not about LSU football or the Saints. All right, Brother Andy. Miss Shirley, your team won, by the way. All right. Have y'all ever played catch with football in worship before here at Cooper? I like to play catch with some people. It has to be people who really loves to play football, though. Matthew, you want to play catch? All right. Here you go, Matthew. Catch. See if you can get it back. Come on, Brother Andy. I'm not going to throw a bomb to you. Anybody else want to play catch with me? You're going to wish you had. Here you go, Brother Andy. No, you're supposed to throw it back to me. All right. Thank you, Brother Andy. Anybody else want to play catch? You're going to wish you had. This is no trick. I won't embarrass you. Anybody over here? Miss Mavis, can you catch football? Very good. All right. All right. Connor, you want to play catch? All right. Ooh, look at that arm on him. You want to play catch? You want anybody else? You going to wish you had it? Oh, a spiral. Evan, that's a little too far. Let me come over there. All right. You know, when you think about footballs, what's a football made of, Brother Joe? You're a retired coach. Pigskin, leather. And so this is just pigskin or leather. This may be imitation because it's made in China. Right there. When I was growing up, that was something bad, made in China. This is made in China, so it's probably imitation leather. I can't even pronounce the name of that. What is it, Baden? So this is just maybe leather with air in it. Not much to it, is it? You and I played catch with it. It does have LSU Tigers on it. National championships at the time. I had to even borrow this football from someone. It's actually Lewis's, our son. And some of us went to Louisiana College, Brother Brian and myself, Robert, Lewis and I went to Louisiana College, and there was a man at Louisiana College that day speaking. You know who it was? That's his initials. His hands held this ball. His hands, I shook hands with this man. He was only about this much taller than me, but I promise you, his hand engulfed my hand. His hand literally wrapped around my hand. And when he held this football, I promise you, his hands wrapped around it. This man, when he held a football, and when he ran the football, he did not fumble. He's in the professionals now. His name is Jacob Hester. Did I say that right? Sign. Autographed his football. His hands held his football. So those of you who played catch with me this morning, you touched a football signed by Jacob Hester. Just a football. Imitation leather, or maybe real, with air in it. But it's the one who held it. Not me. Jacob Hester held the football. You know something? We're made of dust. This is dust and water. One of these days, this dust is going to return to dust. You're made of dust. In by itself, these bodies, it's not much. Not much at all. But if you're held by Jesus Christ, you are something. You are to bring glory to Him. And when Christ is in you, and you're held and you're abiding in Jesus Christ, you can be a great witness for Him. In and of ourselves, we're nothing. Oh, but we have a treasure in earthen vessels. It's Jesus. And when your life is held by Jesus Christ, you can soar, you can fly. He holds you. Will you abide in Him today? If you do not know Him and your life is not hidden in Christ today, will you receive Him? If He touches your heart, will you receive Him? I'm here to help anybody I can during this song of invitation. We're inviting you to respond, to place your faith in church. Those of you who are born again, it's time to wake up. Wake up again. And again and again for the cause of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your presence. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that when we are in the Master's hands, no storm of life, nothing, Lord, can touch us unless You okay it. And if You okay it, You're there with us. Even in the life changes and knowing that death is after every one of us, You're the life giver. And we will have eternal life through You, Jesus, because God so loved us and gave You for us. Help us, Lord, to have a sense of urgency. We don't know when You're coming back, but it could be today. It could be tomorrow. Help us, Lord, to be a witness for You. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, whom we give glory to. Amen.